The Institute on Religious Life presents these lectures on Catholic doctrine by Father John A. Hardin of the Society of Jesus to give impetus to the new evangelization called for by Pope John Paul II. This series on the Sacrament of Matrimony, Part 2, was given during the fall semester, 1993, at Domino's Farms, Ann Arbor, Michigan.
First, a couple of announcements. I forgot to comment on my latest book, Retreat with the Lord, and published by Servants Publication. This is to be a basic text for those who will make the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. In different parts of the country, I am finding that lay people are very interested, to put it mildly, in making the spiritual exercises over a period of 30 days. 3 meditations a day, at least a half an hour each meditation, better 1 hour, 3 times a day for 30 days. This then is the basic text for making the spiritual exercises. For example, in Seattle, Washington, 90 lay people have signed up. And I see within the next month or less, he will have information for people who want to make the exercises, remaining in their home, continuing with their regular duties. This is the way St. Ignatius began, long before we had the telephone or the modern means of communication. And the purpose, as you know, of making the exercises is first to know where I stand before God. What are my liabilities? What are my assets? Then, having honestly evaluated my own position before God, then to find out through prayer, reflection, 400 years of experience behind it, of what God wants me to do for the rest of my life. In any case, these are on sale in our bookstore. And I think it is $8.99. That's number one. Number two. Thanks to the Benedictine sisters, we have a copy of the Code of Canon Law on marriage. And may I ask you to say one rosary for the Benedictine sisters, would you, sometime in the near future? No charge. You don't pay anything. You just pray. So, is it okay, 5 decades? That's the cost of this little publication. And as you notice, it is all in English and in fact, I consider this a better translation than the American. But we will need this for your course. Then, It just became more clear to me what Father Downey was saying when he announced that on Thursday at 7:30, I had visions of myself coming here to Ann Arbor, but no, I'm staying at the university, but giving this 1 hour lecture to different cities in the country. And the subject, you heard the subject, contraception and eternal death. I promise it will be worth listening to. Am I correct? Would it be here and some kind of amplifier, is that correct? Available. If you come, thanks by anticipation, but say a prayer that the message will get across. And now you have 2 pages of an outline, which I would like to, if we could, finish in class today. By now we've talked about the indissolubility of marriage, both this year and in former years, who knows how many times. But I thought we should have one class exclusively on the unity and the indissolubility of marriage. Let me tell you, this is the test of authentic Catholic Christianity. We begin by way of introduction. I will read and then comment briefly as we go along. The whole vision of marriage on Catholic terms rests on the Church's faith in the unity and indissolubility of marriage. Notice we say the Church's faith. The primary object of our faith as Christians is revealed mysteries. We call them strict mysteries. Christian marriage is a strict mystery, as I'm sure you married people will agree. And remember our definition of a mystery. A mystery is that which is rationally inconceivable before revelation and rationally incomprehensible even after revelation. Don't try to figure out the mystery of marriage. It's a mystery. And I dare say, for most Catholics, they would accept the Trinity as a mystery any day, compared to believing in the unity and indissolubility of Christian sacramental marriage. These two essential properties, and they are two, unity and indissolubility, are the single severest test of the Catholic Church in our day. When I've told so many people the Catholic Church will survive only where there are still people who believe that there are to be just two people faithful to one another until death, and their union is not dissolvable by any human authority. Now some terminology. The unity of marriage means that a man may have only one wife and a woman only one husband. Unity in marriage means monogamy, the opposite of polygamy. That's unity. Just two people and no more. The indissolubility is not the same as unity. This means that this bond of two people cannot be dissolved by any power on earth. We see there are two kinds or forms of indissolubility. Intrinsic, which means it cannot be dissolved by the married partners, and extrinsic, which means that a valid marriage is dissolved by some outside authority. If it can be dissolved by an outside authority, what is our thesis? In other words, what do we believe on faith? We believe by divine law that there must be and marriage must be monogamous, that polygamy cannot be a valid marriage. More than two people, and both, need I say it, of the same gender, they must be man and woman, free to marry in the first place. Once they have so married, those two and no one else may enter their bond. And every marriage between baptized persons is intrinsically, by its very nature, indissoluble, cannot be dissolved. Okay? That's the thesis. Now, who are the enemies? The term we use is adversaries of this thesis. First, among non-Christians, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, members of tribal religions, Mormons, they are against monogamy on principle. And I would say, and it should be heard, one of the main reasons why Christ was crucified is because of his teaching on monogamy. Am I clear? For the first time in the history of the human race, shall I say, a would-be religious leader, he was condemned to death and crucified. Not much of a leader by human standards. But he taught that there can be only one man, one woman, marrying, and then no human power can dissolve that union. There has never been in the history of the human race any religion that taught this. There is no religion on earth today, none, except Catholicism. And in Catholicism, only authentic Roman Catholic, papal, pontifical Catholicism believes that. Nobody else does. The Muslims and Muhammad arose in the 7th century. He saw widespread promiscuity among the people of the Near East in his day. So, because of the widespread promiscuity, he decided that there would be marriage and would be observed. However, more than one wife would be allowed to a husband. am a prophet, like himself, could have up to 9 wives. The average Muslim had to be satisfied with only 4. I did tell you, didn't I, about the couple that I was instructing? She a Catholic and he a Muslim. A Jesuit friend of mine at the university asked me, John, would you mind taking over this couple to counsel them? So I did. First I asked, what's your religion? She said, I'm a Roman Catholic. I asked him. He said, I'm a Muslim. You're a what? I'm a Muslim. And you're getting married? And the girl just kept smiling. The man, remember, I told you, he said, Father, don't get us Muslims wrong. We don't put away our wives. We keep them all. I looked at the girl. Talk about love being blind. In this case, it was deaf. After about 3 meetings, they didn't have the nerve to come to the regular meeting. She called me up. Father, we found another priest who is more sympathetic. Oh, I will pray for him and pray for you. Hindus, tribal religions, Mormons, to this day, as I'm sure you know, the Mormons settled finally in Utah. They traveled from New York to Utah and one place after another. The men in the vicinity, well, they were just angry with the Mormons because they realized that their daughters and wives were not safe with these Mormons. Finally, the God, remember, as far as the tip of Missouri, Illinois, and there, Joseph Smith was murdered by angry men whose wives and daughters have been stolen by the Mormons. And to this day, there's a huge statue commemorating the place where Joseph Smith was martyred. Martyred. My eye. The Mormons divided. Some formed a branch of the Mormons minus polygamy, and they stayed in the section southern Illinois and eastern Missouri. The others kept moving and moving till they got to Utah. Finally, after years, they applied for citizenship, but they still had polygamy. Imagine what has happened to our country. They were denied the right to become a state and be accepted into the Union unless they declared officially that they were not polygamists. Sign the document. But much has happened since the Mormons were denied states' right by our Supreme Court. Isn't that something? The same Supreme Court that 100 years later legalized the murder of unborn children. Now professed Christians, on principle, Protestants believe in successive polygamy. That's the church's vocabulary, by the way, for divorce with the right to remarry, successive polygamy. Since they believe that every marriage can be dissolved and remarriage is permissible, so professed Christians notice this is regarding the unity of marriage. I should see it's not in the notes, but even though on page 2 of your notes I put the Orthodox as adversaries, they should also be adversaries of the first part on principle, because for the Orthodox, they too believe that you can divorce and remarry. And if you please, and your second marriage is also a sacrament, so they claim. We go on. Against indissolubility. Notice, part one is the unity of marriage, which therefore excludes what? Excludes polygamy, having more than one wife or husband simultaneously. Indissolubility is the church's teaching that a valid monogamous marriage cannot be dissolved. And we repeat ourselves among the non-Christians. Universal belief from the earliest recorded history that marriage is dissolvable or dissolvable with the right to marry. This, and we could close the course today. This is the heart of the Catholic Church's teaching on marriage. And I repeat, God is not mocked. Only He knows how many of the canonical annulments that are being given are valid. And people who've had their marriage annulled, and they ask me, especially after you give a lecture, talking the way I am now, Father, what should I do? I got an annulment from whatever diocese. I tell them, trust that your annulment was valid, because there is such a thing as a valid annulment. So many people marrying nowadays, called marrying, do not really enter into an indissolvable union. For one thing, they must want children. Like another couple, same thing, I was asked to counsel them. Same thing, my counsel lasted about a month. Same thing, they found it somebody else to continue. And these are, she's Catholic and he had no faith. So we talked and I said, you know, to be valid married, you must want children. Oh, we do want children, eventually. Well, what's that eventually? Well, several years. And they were both from well-to-do families. So I did everything I could to discourage them. Evidently, I did not succeed. But we're living in a world where an indissoluble marriage is a dream. It's not even an ideal. It's unrealistic. Then among professed Christians, this was the key premise for the separation of the Eastern Orthodox from union with Rome, started in the 7th and finally standardized in the 13th century. All kinds of annulments the Eastern bishops were giving their people. The Pope kept telling them, warning them. They wouldn't listen. He'd remove a bishop. The next bishop would do the same thing. The Catholic Church in the United States will survive only solum in Latin, only where there are still parishes and dioceses where Catholics believe that once they enter a sacramental marriage and that marriage is consummated by natural intercourse, no power on earth, no bishop, no conference of bishops, no pope can dissolve that union. And that is why I told the people in Tulsa yesterday, the days of America are numbered. And now I could quote the Holy Father, remember? Pray, said the Holy Father in Denver. Otherwise America will lose its soul. What's the soul of America? Christianity. And America is losing its soul. That's why we're here, by the way, right? Isn't that why we're having these meetings? Thanks for coming. Strengthens my faith. This was the basic issue over which Protestantism came into existence in the 16th century. Luther broke with Rome in 1517. By 1521, the droves of people that were getting, divorces and being, remarried among his followers. Ever tell you about my Episcopalian pastor friend? I must have. Vern Seely? Ever tell you about him? Well, I had his wife in class at Western Michigan. I can't believe it. In 1963, can you imagine, 30 years ago? Well, she came to me after one of the classes. I mentioned about Anglican orders not being valid. Gosh, I thought my husband was a priest, Episcopalian, minister or pastor, married. So we talked. Well, in 1970, to commemorate the centennial of papal infallibility being defined, Bishop of Joliet, Illinois had me organize a series of lectures commemorating papal infallibility. And among the men that I got to speak to him, gymnasium full of people, was my Episcopalian pastor. The bishop called me up. It says here he's Episcopalian. We're talking about papal infallibility. Yes, I know, Bishop. I know. This man will defend papal infallibility better than many Catholics. And I must have said this before, but at least somebody may not have heard it. When he got up, he told the Catholics, hold on to your papal infallibility. That's what kept me sane, Episcopalian. Couples come to me, they want to get remarried. They just had a divorce. And they have the wedding date set and everything, all the formalities. They just want to make wedding arrangements. I tell them, I cannot marry you. What? No. I don't believe in divorce and remarriage. Well, they storm out of the rectory and they complain to the bishop. And this Protestant Episcopalian pastor told me how many times I was called in by the bishop. Marge, he said, remember, we are not Roman Catholics. We're Episcopalians. We're Episcopalians. We give divorce and the right to marry. Well, finally, Burns couldn't take it any longer. He had to become a Catholic. So, this was the basic issue over which Protestantism came into existence in the 16th century, and this is the growing position of dissident Catholic writers and activists urging a change in Catholic teaching. And one of the great joys in working even over the unexpurgated edition of the English translation of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it does need a lot of cleaning up Cardinal Law's translation. But English could not be clearer. In other words, once you marry, you're baptized, your partner's baptized, you have natural intercourse after marriage, that's it. And this is going to be the fate of the Catholic Church in our country. No question about it. Unless someone does something soon. Now, the proof. How do we know that marriage in Christianity was intended by Christ to be monogamous? It's in the Gospels, and specifically Matthew 19, verse 4 and following. So Matthew and Luke, Mark 2, very clear. In other words, from the very beginning, that was Christianity. And then St. Paul, I've got three passages from St. Paul. He assumes monogamy. And the early centuries, that's what Christians were.
Father, in chapter 19 of Matthew, verse 9, it says, I say to you that whoever puts away his wife except for immorality... Can you explain that?
Yes, well, we've touched on that more than once. It is a favorite text in Protestantism. Every Protestant knows that by heart. In other words, from the very beginning, the Church has understood that the marriage remains intact, even though one or both partners may be unfaithful to their spouse. Infidelity does not dissolve the marital bond. What does it do? It justifies the innocent partner in a marriage to separate, and even for a lifetime, separation from bed and board, as the expression goes. So infidelity justifies, the Church teaches, justifies even permanent separation. And by the way, and one reason for that permanent separation is, as a powerful motive against infidelity. In other words, a spouse will think at least once, if not twice, when, say, the person is tempted to be unfaithful. Because by divine law, permanent, even lifelong separation is legitimate. if the spouse is proved to have been unfaithful. Of course, the spouse may, if he or she wants to, accept the married partner and forgive at Western Mission of the University. One day, the mother of one of my students, a Protestant woman, came to my office and told me she just found out her husband had been unfaithful over a period of some time to his wife. And she was not a Catholic, but took literally Christ's teaching. And the upshot it was, she took the husband back. But the Catholic Church's interpretation of that passage, which you quoted, Bill, has been unanimous. And in fact, the Council of Trent defines as an article of faith that in the case of a sacramental consummated marriage, where both are baptized before they marry and have had natural intercourse after marrying, the Church has defined that no one may dissolve that bond, and the bond holds, and it's part of the definition, the bond holds and does not give the right to remarriage even to the innocent partner in the case of infidelity. The Church could not be clearer. And this is the test of the Catholic Church's credibility. And the Catholic Church has survived in spite of this teaching for 1900 years. It will survive only where there are still bishops. As a member of the Rota in Rome told me, our problem in Rome is you've got bishops that no longer believe that sacramental consummated marriage is indissoluble. And since then, a man working at the Rota, we're good friends, has become a bishop. It's not easy to insist on this teaching and without identifying a large archdiocese where reputation for all kinds of annulments. So I had dinner with the head of the marriage board, forgiving annulments. I asked him, what principle do you operate on? Oh, very simple. We assume everyone who applies for an annulment has a right to get one. Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue to identify the archdiocese. One of the hardest hit in the country. Where our churches are being closed. This is the reason. In the name of God, people remain Catholics when the church to which they belong is still the Catholic Church. You don't play with the laws of God and expect people like sheep to still come to Mass on Sundays if they don't hear the truth preached. And the truth insisted on, even though it means the loss of Mazuma. Universal teaching of the Magisterium on unity. Then indissolubility. Remember, this is not the same as unity. Unity means monogamy. Indissolubility means that a sacramental consummated marriage cannot bodies cannot be dissolved with a right to remarry. Teaching of Christ here, Matthew 19, Matthew 10, Luke 16, and Matthew 5. St. Paul again, and notice the Romans, those are the converts among the Romans, Corinth, converts among the Greeks. They have problems, naturally, because naturally, two human beings naturally cannot remain faithful to each other and love one another until death. Not that it's hard, it's impossible. That is why Christ had to establish the sacrament of matrimony. Now some implications. Now, by the way, are there any questions? The implications are enormous. First of all, the duty we have to clearly, unambiguously, uncompromisingly understand our Catholic faith. Book after book is being published under nominally Catholic auspices. Magazines, may God forgive them. The St. Anthony Messenger, may God forgive them. The United States Catholic, may God forgive them. The National Catholic Reporter. And pray for the editors of the Catholic Register. Can I tell you what the last issue has? The last issue of the National Catholic Register, the whole last page, one big ad, sponsored by the Seamless Garment Network Incorporated.
What is that?
In other words, signed by hundreds of people and about 40 organizations. And I almost wept when I saw the name Joan Andrews. You know who Joan Andrews is? Oh, Lord. In other words, putting on the same level abortion, euthanasia, and capital punishment. And nobody should be against abortion unless they're also against capital punishment. Isn't that insane?